Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. I will read, you coming in verse 15 until we get to verse 21. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants, delivered unto them his goods. Verse 15, everybody. And unto one he gave 5 talents. To another, 2 talents. To one, to another one. And to every man, according to his several ability. And straight away, he took his own journey. Verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Verse 17. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained the other 2. Verse 18. But he that had received 1 went and used the energy that I shall have used to multiply it. He digged in the earth and used the same energy to hide his Lord's money. Verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Verse 20, and so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Verse 21, everyone. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a little thing, few things. I will make thee ruler over few things. Huh? How many things? How many did the Lord give? He gave 2, he gave 5. Am I correct? And they went and came back with 2, they came back with 5 more. Am I correct? But when the Lord was now to reward them, he rewarded them with, is it 2, 4, or what? Okay, many. So he said to him, I will make the rule of many things. But beyond that, I now want you to enter into the joy. Enter into the joy of who? Of thy Lord. You qualify to enjoy what I enjoy now. That was what his Lord said. Father, we pray for the blessing this morning. Speak to us in the way that only you can. In Jesus the Lord, mighty name we pray. Amen. Please shake hands with 1 or 2 persons and tell them, good morning. There's an owner and there's a steward. You will find out in this service. Hallelujah. In order to bring us all on the same page, I will try to, for the purpose of clarity, revert back to the illustration that we started with this morning so that we can gain speed, gain momentum. You will need to get the CD of the first service in order to catch up with us and fully get the benefits of the second service. I'd like to have the 3 men that I worked with earlier on today to come on stage. Very quickly, we're going to move. Would you please celebrate them for me as they come? Thank you, Jesus. Let me have those materials. Thank you, thank you, thank you. From the scripture in question, the Bible says there is a man, or there was a man, and the Bible calls him a Lord. The Bible calls him a Lord. And whether he's a Lord in the United Kingdom or a Lord in Nigeria, you know what we call landlord. And the word Lord simply means one who owns something, someone, or some place. So a Lord is an owner. Number 2, a Lord is one who has authority over some things, some place, or some persons. If you go back to the slave trade days, You will remember that those who own slaves are actually called the lords of those slaves. And so they call their masters my lord because he owns them. So the Bible says here, we have a man who happens to be called a lord. And like I said, because he's called a lord, it means that he owns some things. He is in authority and is in power. And this man decided to do something to take what he owns, what belongs to him, what he labored for. He decided to take it and give it to his own servants. His own servants. Meaning that he is going to be given to his servants, whom again he owns what he owns. Don't miss that. He is about to give to those he owns what he owns. So the Bible says he decided to do something. He decided to distribute to the servants of his talents, goods. Another translation of it is money. And so the Bible says he gave. I thought you'd be nice to each other and swap positions you choose to maintain. Praise God. You really like where you are, right? Trust me, if it was I would change my position. I would do that place again. Okay. So he gave to one 5 talents. He gave to another. He gave to another. Take 2 more so it can be 5. He gave to one 5 talents. He gave to another 2 talents. And then the Bible says, his phone is back. Love the phone, amen. Okay, you say anything about it. Did the phone leave after my message in the first time? Where you put offerings on the altar, they are burnt unto the Lord. So let this be a burnt offering. Is that okay? All right. So, and the Bible says he gave to one talent. Now, I want to say something here, and I said that in the first service. He didn't give them the talent based on how much he likes them. He didn't give them the talent based on who came first, who is his firstborn, who is his nice guy, who serves him well. The Bible says he gave them these things according to every man's ability. In essence, capacities decided deliveries. Individual capacities decided what was handed over to them. Please let me touch your neighbors. A more won't be given to you than you can handle. So what was given to them was not subject to wishes. It wasn't them appealing to the Lord saying, sir, please give me 5. Even if he had made such a request, he had to use his own judgment to decide who qualifies for what. And what decides what was given to all, please say here with me, capacity. So he studied the individual capacity, said, look, you, I know you before, you can handle 5. I don't want to go into the morning service. You can handle 2. And you can handle 1. And watch this carefully, people of God. Like I said to them in the first service, he stepped out of the space. Because that's exactly what true leaders do. True leaders will use their sacrifice to create platforms for those that they are mentoring to stand on. True fathers will work so hard to lay the foundation upon which their sons and daughters will have to stand on. In essence, true leaders, true parents, true CEOs, they are posterity driven and not prosperity driven. They think about those who are coming after them and not just about themselves. They build companies that will last after them, companies that are transgenerational. They take their time to lay foundations for those who are coming behind. Pastors who know what they are doing are not interested in going up fast. They are interested in making sure that we go deep and strong enough, that our foundation will be strong in the ground and will be able to carry whatever desire we have in the years to come, because capacity is critical. And so the Bible says that after a while, the Lord moved out of the space and gave them opportunity now to function. This one, move. You move. This one went to walk. He went to walk on his gift. Sorry, quickly, come back quickly. I want to do something. Let me make sure I explain to you what these things are. There are some of us that he gave 5 talents. There are some of us that only have 1. Some of us have only 2. There are some people that can plan, they can execute, they can market, they can. When you meet them in the place of marketing, competent. You meet them in the place of planning, competent. Meet them in the place of strategy, competent. Meet them here, meet them there, competent. There are people who are 5. Now, but please take note of this. Whether 5 will produce result is not dependent on what was given to you. The result will come based on what you do with it. There are some of us in the church here. You can preach, you can teach. You are very good at pastoring. I'm talking to the apostles here now. You know, you can teach, you can preach, you can pastor, you can evangelize. So you are an apostle. Some of you are 5-fold. Unlike some of us that are praying to grow to be like you. Amen. Some of you are just out blessed. 5-fold. When you pastor effectively. You preach effectively. You teach effectively. When it comes to the prophetic, you function effectively. Apostolic wise, you're a good pioneer. There are people who are 5-fold. But please don't forget that what you are given is not what will determine your profiting. The Bible says, and he went and trade with them. That's what happens. That's what determines our profiting. What you do with what God has given to you is ultimately what will determine the outcomes of your life. He went, go now, he went to trade. He went to work. He went to do something. Wait, somebody say he went. Say it again, say he went. So if you had seen them when they were given this thing, you will no longer see this one there, because he went and trade with it. The same thing to the one that had 2. Musa, go and trade with it. Some of you have 2 here. Some of you can plait hair. Some of you can cook very well. That's a talent that God gave to some of you here. Everybody here has got something that God has given to you. Have you touched your neighbor and say you have something from the Lord? Talk to the person like you mean it. I'm just laying foundation for you. Say it again. Say you have something from the Lord. So some of you, what God has given to you, the tool that God has given to you is the ability to do some things on the internet. Some of you is the ICT, information communication technology. Some of you is about strategy. Some of you is about planning. Some of you is about marketing. Whatever the case is, somebody on the side of my voice here has been given something from the Lord, by the Lord. Don't forget the Bible says, and he gave them his goods. So what you have is not yours. So let's take it here. He gave them what?
his goods. In case your argument is that what you have is yours, now don't forget this, can we move a little bit higher? You belong to him. First, he created you, am I correct? Okay, number one, if he created you and you claim you create or you have what you have, the one who created you and owns you automatically owns what you have. Am I correct? All right. So we're going somewhere. So this one went to work to trade with it. He also went to trade with it. And then I like my friend here. He has one gift. Amen. He's not like that. This man is a lawyer. He's a singer. What is a? Is an artist. Is an actor. A husband. A prophet again. And he's a father. So please don't forget that. He's a lawyer. He's everything. And I'm proud of him. Amen. All right, so now this is it. He was given one. And look at what he did with the one that he was given. I didn't see that in the first service. I just saw the man hid it in the ground. No. The Bible says he took time. He took time. Kept the gift. He went. While others went to trade, he also went. But to look for something else. He went to look for digging equipment. And took time to dig the ground. And then buried the talent there. Hid it in the ground. So assume that the ground has been dug. And he did there. So what's in his hands now? Okay. And then you imagine that others are busy working. And you see, while they are working on their gift, they are not in the limelight anymore. This guy now, he has time. His hands are free. Browsing on the internet. You've got time now, so you can browse, right? Facebook. WhatsApp. Come on, browse. Your hands are free now. Come on. What's that? Come on, boy. Snap yourself. Oh, take your picture. Instagram it. Instagram. This is a man with destiny doing Instagram. This is a man with destiny. Wasting his life. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Yeah. BB. You know. And he's got about four phones. He's on a T-Salat. It's on Glow. It's on MTN. Airtel. And he's got friends. Where's Ken, his friend? Is Ken around? You want to come with your chick, huh? Yeah, Ken is his friend. A fellow NFA. No future ambition. Miserable comforters. Sitting in the same place, singing the same old song, and making no progress. And all they do is while each other's time away. Ken just got the latest information about the latest movie coming out in Silver Bird. And in reality, they have to go to watch movies. Here they are now watching a movie in Silver Bird. Look at them watching with popcorn, eating popcorn. You see, because for them, the future is now. They've arrived. So they've got to eat tomorrow, today. With ice cream, with popcorn, they're having fun. Now listen, the money that others scholars were using to buy more books to get more information so that they can enhance what they are doing, what they are called to do. The monies that they are using to go for movies and all the rest, these other ones are using those monies to attend conferences, seminars, and further their education to increase their capacities. Because, listen, if my former capacity made me to receive 5, if I increase my capacity, more can come my way. The reason why you have plateaued, stayed at one level, is because you've not increased your capacity. A pastor can never pastor 10,000. Listen, not because God doesn't want to send 10,000, but if God sends them, you will die under the weight of it. So what God will do to a pastor first is to increase the capacity of the pastor. So these guys went around increasing their own capacity. This guy is here while in the Way Zone Future. Look at them reading the latest magazine in town, talking about the latest sister in that church and how that they propose to several sisters and none will answer them. Of course, sisters have no reason to answer a guy who has nowhere to go to, because I'm a sister. My assignment is to support, assist a man going somewhere. But a man sitting on something going nowhere, they had better just sit down, be snapping themselves. I just hope they don't end up marrying themselves. These are potential fathers. These are men that will someday bring children into this world and hope that they will go to qualitative schools. Waking up early in the morning, chewing stick, tying wrapper around their waist, drinking pap in the morning. 10 o'clock, that's when they are dozing, trying to wake up at 10. These are men who are wasting away. No drive, no zest, nothing driving them. They stay under the same umbrella where they seem to have been sedated beyond the point of realization that their future is being wasted away today. These men are sedated. Somebody has injected them. They are insensitive to the moment, like a woman who is in the operation bed, on the operation bed, and has been injected with anesthesia. And this woman is insensitive to the fact that baby is being removed from her, that what she has been carrying is being removed from the inside of her. How that some of those men don't even know that what they have been carrying has been taken out of them, because they are insensitive to the moment, dulled by the blindness that surrounds them. They can't see farther than where they are. They think that the Lord who has gone away has gone astray. They think that the Lord who gave them the talent will never come back again. But you know, someday an information rushed up into the little house where this people who have no future concerns were having a meeting, and somebody whispered to him and said, "Sorry, Philip, I need your attention a little bit. Come over. Our guy is coming. The Lord is coming. You better send that guy away. The Lord is coming." Now he sends Ken packing out of his house, because the Lord is coming. And in the parable of the 10 virgins, the Bible says it was when they heard that the Lord was coming that they started looking for oil. How that many is when their season of manifestation comes, that's when they start looking for what they need for that season. He said, "Go to the ants, thou sluggard, and go and learn from the ways of the ants, how that in the time of harvest they prepare for summer." And so the Bible says that the Lord came. Now it's time. And don't forget that this guy was a reigning guy while the Lord was away. He was the one using the Hummer Jeep of the Lord. You know, he's become the new Lord in town now, using Oga's Hummer Jeep. So he's the new boss in town, using all the cars that Oga has, shining for a moment in the limelight. Everybody knows this guy. And all of a sudden, Oga came and said, "Can I have everybody come back?" And this time around, they didn't just come back the way they left. The one with 5 has added 5 more. He has increased his capacity to carry more. The one with 2 has increased his capacity to carry more than he was given. He
came back with four. And so the master said to them, the Lord said, because of what you have done without me, now I am going to make you to be ruler over many things. You, I'm going to assign you to something bigger. You, I'm assigning you to something bigger. So you can go into your assignment. Listen, your assignment is called the joy of the Lord, not your joy. What that simply means is that what I have been enjoying, you now begin to enjoy too. You don't understand the implication of that. What he's saying is that we are now equalizing. Even though I have gone ahead of you, you have caught up with me. Move into my kind of joy. And then we need to talk with the bozo here. Yes, that's normally how they start. Scratching of the head. To show you that they've wasted time, wasted life, wasted opportunity, wasted resources, wasted that which was given to them. What have you done with it? And he was pointing somewhere. Master, I kept it. I dug the ground. But the same energy with which you dug the ground with, you could have actually used that energy to do something profitable with this thing. I buried, Pastor, I know you gave me one talent, which is to pray. You gave me one talent to write. You gave me one talent to plan. You gave me one talent to network people. You gave me one talent, whatever the talent is. I took my talent and I buried it. And the master said to him, well, you have been in the limelight up till now. You have been the one reigning. Others have been in darkness working. Now you are going to move from here and you're going into outer darkness. Now listen to this. Can I have the one you have? Listen to what the Bible says. And the one that he had, it was commanded that it should be taken from him and be given to one who had more. That is why you hear this common adage, the rich keep getting what? And the poor keep getting what, sir? Take from him. Take it away. His problem is not the absence of gift. His problem is the absence of dedication. His problem is the absence of commitment. And that's why he remains. So go into outer darkness. Don't go there. Just move to your way. Please put your hands together for him. And that summarizes where we stopped at the first service. There's so much we said during that service. If you're going to enjoy supernatural success, it is critical for you to recognize, number one, that you brought nothing into this world. If you want to succeed in this life, and I'm talking about qualitative success, transgenerational success, don't forget that vegetables grow just like palm trees grow. But the difference is in the timing involved in their growth process. The vegetable grows fast. The palm tree takes time. But when it's all said and done, when the palm tree begins to blossom, the vegetable will be nowhere to be found. Let me touch your neighbor and say, I'm taking my time to grow. Yeah. Help me look at somebody and say, I'm not a vegetable at all. No. No, I'm not a vegetable. I'm not in a hurry to happen and then fade out in a hurry. No, I'm taking my time. Yeah. For me, life is not about an explosion. It's a progression. Am I talking to somebody here? I'm coming in style. I'm not running my race after you. I'm not going to drop my one talent because you have five. I celebrate your five, but I also appreciate my one. I will walk on my one as though that's the only one that matters in this life. If you can preach, pray, and sing, and all I can do is to pray alone, I will pray like nobody else can pray in this world until by prayer, dedication to prayer, my destiny is announced in this generation. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? There are some who don't have five talents, but are committed to the only one that they have, and they made a major thing with their life. The man called Mordecai didn't have five children. They have six children. Mordecai never even had a wife of his own. Mordecai just had his brother's daughter as somebody he has to take care of, Abihail. And Mordecai said, I may not have a child of my own, but I will mentor one that is around me now. This is the goods that the Lord has given to me. He gave some five children, but to me, Mordecai, he just gave me one little girl by the name of Hadassah. And I'm going to
pour myself into Adessa like there's no other child to pour myself into. And the Bible says that Mordecai poured himself into this little girl. Little did he know that what he was pouring into is what will eventually pour back into him. It's not the absence of children. It's the absence of your dedication to your kids. How much time do you spend with them? Whoever pastor, you know, I'm going everywhere trying to make money for them. You will come to realize at old age that children don't value what parents do for them as much as they value what parents do with them. Am I talking to somebody here? Make the money with them. Provide with them. Don't provide for them. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? The best your children can appreciate your effort is only when they are less than 18, when they've not started making their money. When kids begin to make their money, then they will begin to look back at the family that produced them. And that is when many of them will not want to associate with you again. And then you will be shouting, but I spent all my life working hard for you. And they will let you know, mommy, daddy, you wasted your time making money for us. Unfortunately, you never made it with us. You lost us when you were making money for us. You lost us. Ah, Lord Jesus, have mercy. And so Mordecai said, I will pour myself into this girl. Mordecai will wake up in the morning, increase her capacity, train her, mentor her, coach her, give her assignments to carry out. Mordecai poured into one. Unfortunately, there was a man by the name of David. He had the many. David had Solomon. David had Absalom. David had one of his children, Abner, Tamar. David had children. In actual fact, sir, yes, after David died, one of David's sons, Rehoboam, was on the throne. And another son of David that the children of David didn't know where he was in existence showed up from nowhere. And said, listen, you are not the only son of David. When your father came visiting our country, he slept with my mother and I'm one of his children. There's one president in one of the African countries that I learned has children like that. Everywhere he goes to, he makes a deposit. He donates children in every part of his country where he goes to. One of the African countries. Amen to Jesus. And so David was such a man. Everywhere David goes, so if David stays on top of a roof and sees a woman taking her bath, David will not just let what he sees pass by. David will end up doing something crazy with such a woman. David was a man who, after the order of those who have come before him, even the man called Judah, David was a man who slept with his own concubines and then produced that kind of effect in his own marriage. It was a very terrible thing. David had children, but never poured into them. Mordecai didn't have, but he poured into one. How many gifts you are is not what will decide your future. It's the one among the gifts that you pour into. Am I talking to somebody here? I know you can sing, you can dance, you can run. And don't forget this, multi-talented people usually die below average. Because you can do too many things. So you start this one, you meet with challenge. I'm not sure. Okay, start this one. You meet with little child, I beg you. Move to the other one. I beg you. And that's how you just keep, I beg you. I beg you. Be sorry if you're watching this by the way of internet. I beg you in Nigeria. It means, oh, well, I don't know. What's I beg you? All right. Some languages in Nigeria don't have global interpretation. So he gave some five. Let me say this to you. If you have more, more is expected from you. In actual fact, let me say this to you. The reality is, it is better to have one than to have many. And so we have a situation here whereby you must recognize, number one, if you want to succeed in life, that you brought nothing into this world. Number two, recognize that you met all things here in this world. There's nothing you came to this world with. Tell your mother to show you the picture of the day you were born. You came here like this. Nothing. No napkin. No pampers. You came here. I met everything here. No gold wristwatch. No suit. No car. You came here with nothing. Number three, recognize that all the things you met here must of course have belonged to somebody else. Somebody owns all that you have. The Toyota car that you use comes from the factory of the Toyota family. And the Toyota family actually live in a nation called Japan. And Japan belongs to somebody called the Most High God. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So the car you bought from Toyota Company, which belongs to the Toyota family, who belong to the Most High God, actually your car belongs to God. Because in the first place, the money with which you bought it, you didn't bring that money to this world. Where you got the money from, you didn't create it in this world. The energy with which you got the money, you didn't create the energy. You were given the energy. The time with which you expended in return for which you got money, that time belonged to the one who is ageless, eternal. The one who spans time, ages, eons. The one who spans chronos. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? There is a God who owns time. He owns matter. He owns space. There's a God who owns energy. Everything belongs to him. Your energy comes from him. Time comes from him. Space comes from him. Matter comes from him. The universe comes from him. The stars, the Milky Way, the galaxy, everything, Pluto, Mars, Uranus, Saturn, Jupiter, all the planets of the earth, they belong to this Most High God. The Bible says he spoke them into existence. They have time to sit down to try to craft, because he's too mighty to craft planets. As big as planets are, my God happens to be too big to sit down to craft planets. He spoke them and they came into existence. That's how mighty this God is. He owns the particles, the oxygen. He owns the hydrogens, the neutrons, and yeah, all the electrons that are all gallivanting around our universe, the frequencies. Everything belongs to our God. Let me touch your neighbor, say, you ain't having anything made by yourself. No, you ain't having anything you made by yourself. He made them all. He made everything. He owns you, the breath in your nostrils, the pumping of your heart. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? The blood that flows in your vein. How much of protection do you have control over? Were you the one that watched over yourself on the highway? How many times your car's tire busted, but God never allowed it to happen? How many times the plane you were flying in crashed, but God never let it become a reality? This Most High God has been the everlasting arms that have been carrying you. You thought the plane carried you to Nigeria, but underneath the plane that carried you is the hands of the everlasting God. Carry what is carrying you, sustaining what is sustaining you. I mean, just somebody say, God is it all. Yeah. Feel like preaching this thing today. Awesome Father, recognize therefore that there is somebody that owns everything. Am I talking to someone in the house of God? I woke up day before yesterday thereabout, and when I woke up, something funny happened. I lifted my head and God said to me, do it again. And I lifted it again. He said, stop. And I said, Lord, why are you asking me to do this? And he said, son, do you know that there are so many who wish they can, but the head will not respond? There are many who are telling their hand, jump, raise it up, lift it up, and the hand can't respond to the desire of the head. He said, son, you lifted it up. Man of God, I got into the toilet and I said, Father, thank you. You mean I can wee? May I never take it for granted. You mean I can poo? May I never take it for granted. May you not know what it means to have machines support you to poo and to wee. When kidneys fail, human beings are in a mess. Who's been holding your kidney? Who's been making your kidney work? Who's been making your body synthesize things? Somebody needs to be grateful to God. Can I give you 1 minute to just give God some praise in the house? Sit down. I'll soon be closing. Ooh, Shababa. So, recognize that little car, the big one, the car park there, the next time you're approaching it with your key, They say, Father, thank you for your car that you have allowed me to manage on your behalf. As you're about to enter your house, the one you thought you built, for except the Lord builds a house, so you didn't build it. So don't go back to that house. My house, sir. Many laid foundation, and I'm not alive to see pillars rise on it. Some raised the pillar, but we're not like to see roofs placed on them. Some finished it, and we're not alive to open the doors. Mercy has been working over time in your life. Ah, mercy. I can't finish this message, Lord. What's going on today? Mercy has been working over time on your behalf. From today, stop thinking about that gift that you have, ability to speak. Who told you it was, you know me, it's my gift. Your what? What is it that we have that we have not? I didn't hear you talk, Church of God. We have not what? Come and touch your neighbor, say it was received. Ability to speak, watcher, received. Success. Ability to articulate, strategize, plan, implement. That ability, sir, was watcher. Oh, you're not talking to me. Say, receive. It was received. Ability to teach the Bible, PJ. Received. Ability to prophesy, prophet can show. It was received. Your mother never called you a prophet when you were born. You didn't begin to prophesy when you were born. God could have made your mouth dumb. You would have been dumb when you were born. God didn't allow your tongue to be tied to the roof of your mouth. He allowed you to speak. How can you dare now boast that I'm a prophet? God made you one. How dare you boast that I'm a public speaker? God made you one. How dare you boast you're a strategist? God made your mind to think. Because there are some who have lost their capacity to think. And some of them are better than you do. Mercy has kept your mind together. You've gone through so much in this life. It's a miracle that you are still thinking in a normal way. Not just to think about thinking in a normal way. That your mind can be so articulate. That you are making money out of it. Rendering service to people. This God must be working over time in your life. Can somebody shout, thank you, Jesus. So recognize, therefore, that you don't own anything. You are a steward. Steward. Help me look at somebody and say, fellow steward, how are you? My children. Whose children? Huh? Did you read in Genesis how the Bible says there was a time when the sons of God were going to the sons of men? What God was simply telling you is that any person you see on earth, they are my children. Your womb may have carried a baby. Your matrix may have opened the baby into this world. It is just a required thing. Otherwise, the child will be illegitimate. So you were only the passage, the gate. You are the border control officer that allows children to come into this world just like they allow people to come into their country legitimately. Beyond that, nothing more. You are just a steward. That's why when they get to 18, 21, 22, they come, hi, mom. Hi, do more. Something I like to talk to you about more. Well, I fell in love with Natasha. And mom, I just want to let you know that we'll be getting married in about 3-6 months time. Some of you parents are normally the African traditional family where you want children to give you 1 year notice. This generation, they will call, hi mom, hi dad. I just want to let you know that I fell in love with Natasha, and right now as I'm talking to you, we are in the court in California. We just want to do our wedding. We just felt we should let you know. My son! It doesn't happen. My son, you will come. Dad, sorry, you know I can't do that. Well, Dad, we just need your blessing. That's why I called you. My son, at the age of 8, at the age of 6, 7, began to travel on his own holiday. You know the funny part? When he goes on holiday, as soon as my wife and I call him, "Hi, David," we just want to say, "How are you doing? How's your holiday getting on?" David, "Thank you so very much. I'm all right. Thank you very much. I'm having fun here. Thank you. Please, can I continue?" I'm saying, "David! It's your dad!" "Say, your dad, I know." I said, "We want to talk." He said, "Daddy, I'm busy." He said, "My friend and I, we're watching a movie now." He said, "Dad, have you ever heard about Superman?" I said, "Me." It's terrible, but when his mother called, it's even worse. David will not speak more than 10 seconds to his mom. He fears me because I pay the bills now. And I said to my wife, I said, "Come. When I married you, didn't I tell you? Me and you. It's me and you. You see? My children. It's me and you! I said, you see what just happened? Now, get ready, from next Sunday, we are starting our marriage and relationship month. Any marriage relationship that is in trouble, bring them down here. So begin to talk to your friend at that moment in our church when we talk to families, relationships, singles. Just tell everybody to come here next week Sunday. Amen. Now say, "You see that?" You say, "What's that?" I say, "Have you heard that thing they normally say in Lagos?" "Oh Lord, yeah." 6, 7. That's how they're going. As small as he is, David will be away 1 month, holiday. If we don't call him, he doesn't bother. But when we come back, he'll just come and hug me. "Daddy, I missed you. In my mind, I say, "Why won't you miss me? You know that from this moment henceforth, you need good relationship with me to further your course." Couples who are dying over children, abandoning each other because of your kids, they will wake up one day and tell you, "Dad, I'm gone." That greet your wife for me. Your wife, greet her for me. Tell your wife that we love you guys. You know the worst one is when my son look at me and my wife. He say, "It's like you guys know." I say, "We are guys, have you?" Hey, what's the message, sir? We don't own them. Children are not yours. The Bible says children are the heritage of, I didn't hear you. African people talk. I know you are afraid. Children are the heritage of who? They are not yours. The fruit of the womb. Who's the reward? Not yours. So what you are dying over don't belong to you. But you must take care of it. Otherwise you'll be wiped out on the earth. So the father of those children is watching you. Eh? The father, the real father of those children in your house. It's because you are nice to those children. That's why the father of those children has the opening door for you. Because he sees where you are buying clothes for them, he says, "You need to be buying more for my children." So he's been opening doors for them. They are not yours. Treat them badly, he will wipe you out of the earth. And replace you with somebody who will take over your role as a father in their life. That's why fathers are replaceable, mothers are replaceable. I need to close. So take note of this. As we talk about ownership, take note of this. I just few thoughts. Number one, God owns greatness, power, glory, riches, and honor. So if you are looking for those things, realize this today, that they belong to God. If you have glory, it came from God. If you have riches, it came from God. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10 to 13. "Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly." David said, Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Verse 11. Yours, O Lord. Listen to what David is saying now in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 29 in verse 11 now. David said, yours, O Lord, is the greatness. David said, Lord, I know I'm great, but I affirm that that greatness is yours. Number two, he said the power and the glory. David said, I have power, but I affirm that that power came from you. Glory, David said, I affirm it came from you. Victory, David said, the victories I have, I threw the stone, but you gave the victory. So even though the women of Israel were shouting, David has killed 10,000 and Saul has killed 1,000. I say, Father, it's the women that are saying so. Me, that they are saying I killed. I am saying to you that the victory came from you. May you not let people praise you to your self-realization. You didn't hear what I just said? Then you can preach you when that's true. The Bible says, and then they knew that they were naked. When I drew. That was what killed Uzziah, sir. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Young boy Uzziah, from the age of 8, I think, God began to bless this young boy. He became prominent. 16, God began to bless Uzziah. So long as he stayed humble under the man of God that God has placed him under. It got to a point when Uzziah began to become popular. 2 Chronicles 16. And the Bible says that Uzziah now became lifted with pride in his own heart. But the Bible says to his own destruction. Because Uzziah now began to look at all the achievements. And Uzziah said, man, see what I don't do. That was what killed Nebuchadnezzar. He stood upon the suspended gardens and was looking at the kingdom of Babylon and said, hey, see Babylon that my hand has made. God said, where? He said, you will know that even though you are an unbeliever, I'm the one that makes things happen for you. Hello, sir. Haven't you seen? Do you know that unbelievers give praise more to God for what they achieved than Christians? Eh? They finish scoring a goal, and you see somebody with tattoos all over his hand. And then you see somebody who carried a cross on his chest. He will score a goal. The one with tattoo is you, Lord. The one with cross. See me. See me. Camera. The power and the glory, they all belong to God. In verse 12, 1 Chronicles 29, David said, but riches and honor, they come from you. You reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand, it is to make somebody great and to give strength to anybody. Verse 13. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you. We praise you. We praise your glorious name. God owns everything. God owns everything. However, he gives it to some people to manage on his behalf. God owns everything. And then he gave Europe to the Europeans. Africa to Africans, American lands to the Americans. God gave it to people. Your beauty, he gave it to you. Brother cute, he made you cute. At your birth, you could have been deformed. If your mother is to tell you your story, you were not supposed to be born this cute. You were a child that should have been born deformed. But miracle has kept you where you are today. If you look back at your history, it's a miracle that you are looking this good after the accident you survived. It's a miracle that you have not lost your mind with all that has happened to you. The people that betrayed you, the hurts, how that this God steadied your mind. He will keep him in perfect peace whose heart is stayed on him. You are all you are because of all that he is. You have all you have. Because he owns all that is in the world. A thousand cattle upon the field. They belong to our God. Lands that you have, they belong to God. Leviticus chapter 25 verse 18. Follow my decrees and be careful too, and you will live safely in the land. Then the land will yield its fruit and you will eat your fill and live there in safety. You may ask, what will he eat in the seventh year if we do not plant or harvest our crop? God said, if you don't plant in the seventh year, verse 21, I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. Does anybody understand what I'm saying here? Do you know what it means for God to bless you in 1 year and that blessing will sustain you for 3 years? God said, I'm the God who can do that for you. It's in my power to do such. Hallelujah. Verse 22, while you plant during the eighth year, you will eat from the old crop and will continue to eat from it until the harvest of the ninth year comes. Listen to verse 23. The land must not be sold permanently because, is it your screen? Is it on your screen? Because what? You are not talking to me now. The land is what? Help me look at your neighbor. Say, landlord. Look at the place. Say, landlord. The land is not yours, so. Look at landlord calling somebody caretaker, whereas you two, you are the original caretaker. Pastor Victor, you're laughing. You are part of the landlord association in Lugbe. You are caretaker. All of you in that your landlord meeting, you're all caretakers. The real owner is the one that just spoke now. The real owner. He said, because the land is mine. You are, but I like how I introduce you, landlord. He said, you are what? Eh? I don't like this translation. He's making this a new King James. He said, you are aliens. Aliens, you, landlord, alien. God owns the lands. God owns the money. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. He said, the silver is mine, verse 8. And the gold is mine. Money is not yours. Everything, including the 1,000 cattle on the hills. In Psalm 50, verse 10 to 15. He said, if I'm hungry, I will let you know. He said, for every beast of the forest, verse 10 of Psalm 50, every beast of the forest is mine. And the cattle on the 1,000 hills, they belong to me. Now, let me get them. Let me get them. I will stop here today. Get them. Look at your neighbor, say, fellow steward, how are you? Woo! I feel excited about this. See, things will begin to shift in our lives when we get out of the owner's seat and take our proper seat. From today, all this is my get out of the owner's seat and give the real owner his seat. It is naturally your country for them to say, okay, well, who is the owner of this land? Please, when you are filling that document, it's like the case of David. When they were saying, David has killed 10,000. Let the country by law say you are the owner. But in your place of prayer, Father, the document they gave me from Egypt, I came to give it back. You know, you only asked me to represent you. I brought the document back to you, Lord. You are the Father, they just asked me to write the name of my children. They say, who is their father? Who is the owner of these children? Lord, I put my name there, but you know, they belong to. Listen, if he owns all things, it means that he should decide what you do with what he owns. The car is not yours. It's in your name, but it's not yours. You were there at a meeting, Pastor. Gubabi, right? Yeah, Gubabi. Some of you were there. When Pastor, what's his name? Pastor Steve, he stood up and said, the Lord said, there's somebody here. The Lord said, you need to make a sacrifice. Okay, Pastor, but you were the one I sent to Mama. The Lord is saying, somebody here needs to give out something, whatever. And the Lord spoke to me and said, the car you came here with you, I said, the devil is a liar. Where? And the Lord said, not only that one. He said, the other car you have in your house too, the two cars, you have to give all of them out. I said, what? So I thought I was hallucinating. You know, when God speaks to you about receiving, you hear him clearly. When God talks to you about going to China, Canada, London, oh, Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you. Father, you are saying I'm going to Canada. And Lord, you are saying I'm arriving at the airport. Lord, what else are you saying that I went out with the aircraft? But when the Lord said give, You will say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because voice that is contrary to the voice of the Spirit of God. Have you ever heard the devil say, give? The devil takes. So the voice that says give can't be the devil because the devil doesn't give. The devil can't make you give. Giving is the nature of God. For God so loved, he gave. So all this one, I don't know whether it is God speaking to me or it is the devil. The devil can't speak to you. You are just being greedy. Yeah. And so the boy says, Samoye. I say, yes, Lord. They took us. Go. I said, go. I said, Lord, let me hear from my wife. I call Pastor Ben. I said, go and call Mama. Pastor Ben went to the back to call Mama as usual. And as he got to Mama, sir, what did you meet Mama doing, sir? Mama was coming with the key. I said, which guy woman you be? Mama was coming with the key. So I said, God, why did I say to Mama, can't there be Papa somewhere? And my wife came, she came to me as a sweetheart. I said, I'm hearing. You know, it's when God says you should give something that costs you much. That's why I say, I'm hearing a voice. When God says, I'm opening Canada for you, say, the Lord is opening Canada for me. But when he's giving, I'm hearing a voice. I said, sweetheart, I'm hearing a voice. She said, what is it? I said, I'm hearing a voice. He said, we should give out two cars, the two cars we have. And my wife said, oh, is that the case? He said, that's why I'm bringing the key to you. That the same voice spoke to me at the back. So that we should, in fact, she said, to make matters worse for you, the Lord said we should fix the car before we give it out. I said, fix. And the Lord said, you don't give to God blind offering. If God asks you to give him something, fix it properly. Because until you have done that, it is not yet a proper gift. He said, will you give a blind gift to your governor? A lame one. The one that retires almost, you know. Hallelujah. The Lord bless us all in Jesus' name. He owns all things. Hey, if you move with that mentality from today, that God owns all things, then the one who owns all things, and know you know he owns all things, will begin to give to you things you don't even think you deserve. Father, that parastata, you own it. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. The world, and they that dwell therein. Father, I desire help. I am your child. You own that place. Move the heart of whosoever is necessary there. You don't understand the depth of what this teaching is going to bring into your life. Understanding ownership and taking your place as a steward. When you take your place as a steward and allow God to be the owner, things will shift in your life. Let me ask you a question. Who is in charge of your life right now? Who is in charge of what's going on with your children? The schools they go to, who is deciding them? The way you're planning your life, who is in charge? Stand to your feet, everybody. My time is up. Woo!